I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee back to order. We have a quorum, and I'm the vice chair of the committee. Congresswoman Whitehorn is close by. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. What all review the minutes from September 26th, Congresswoman Good Fox.
Page two, motion to report under Michael Kidder. We've got the motion was seconded, and there's an AP in there, and pass was six.
I know what you're talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
I haven't made it all up in the shed. I don't know what that call has.
Parenthetical, if that's spelled correctly. Been here 2 years, that's the first time I've heard that word being used here.
According to Word.
Motion to
approve minutes.
As amended.
As amended.
Second.
For September 26th.
All right, there's a motion. Here's a second.
Second.
Motion and a second, any discussion? Seeing none, motion passes. Next item on the agenda, ONCA 1868, an act to appropriate the sum of $53,516 to pay the employer portion of insurance costs and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congresswoman Good Fox. How would you like to proceed?
Just to give you a little, just to give everyone a little bit of background, we have Osage Home Health has Osage employees. As most of you know, Osage Home Health is separate from the nation, and I go to their board meetings pretty frequently. Sometimes their numbers are really great. They have a lot of people that they're serving. Sometimes they don't. People have gotten better. People, you know, passed away. People have moved. They're catching up with like the billing they do for Medicaid, Medicare, and even some private insurance. They don't have they don't generate the kind of extra income to provide the employer portion of health insurance. We have appropriated money to, like even the Bluestone Ranch Board, with their money that we appropriated with nation dollars, they use some of that to provide the employer portion of their ranch hands health insurance. And that's when I was like, well, why don't we do that for Osage Home Health? We have Osage employees down there serving Osages that don't have health insurance. So that's where this $53,516 number comes from. It's for four employees. I know that some people will be like, well, what if they hire two or three or four more employees in the next year? I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now, this is what they need. I'm not advocating that we put more money in there in case they get extra employees. Four is what they have, and that's what they need.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
I just wanted to verify the four employees that they have are full-time employees.
Yes.
They do have some part-time employees.
Do they?
Yes.
Okay.
They do. Is it three or four?
Part-time. I don't know how many part-time, but this is for the full-time employees. Yes.
Okay. Anyone else? Committee? Have any questions? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'm ready to move on this if there's no more questions. Move to report ONCA 1868 to Congress with due pass recommendation.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Seeing none, motion passes, and I would like to relinquish my co-chair duties back to Chairman Whitehorn.
Thank you. Congressman Tillman. Next item on the agenda is ONCA 1829, a resolution to authorize and approve execution of a proprietary information agreement with Honeywell International, Inc., and to authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and consent to jurisdiction. Congressman Stabler is the sponsor of this resolution. You have the floor, Congresswoman.
I believe we've invited Assistant Chief Redcorn and Clint Patterson out of the AG's office, and I would like to ask them to bring any discussion forward that they have or answer any questions that the committee might have, please.
Madam Chair, shall I address the committee?
Pardon me?
May I address the committee?
Yes, please do, yes.
So, what we have here is what I've been told by Ron Barber is a fairly common agreement. Our AG's office has gone through it and approved it. I want to explain the importance of this. And in order to do so, I'm going to have to go a little deep into what I know. And I think one of my great failings is that I come to the table with a lot of enthusiasm because I have 14 months of hard work behind it. We've had a lot of professionals tell us about the potential of the ranch, especially considering its attributes, and the potential for Skyway, both of which are involved here. But this is not at all just about Honeywell and this agreement. This is about something much, much more. First of all, I need to explain what a BVLOS is, or BV loss. A BV loss that stands for Beyond Visual Line of Sight. And right now, under FAA rules, Beyond Visual Line of Sight is waived your ability to fly beyond where you can see your drone, is waived for precious few people. And owning a BVLOS waiver is a really big deal. They are rare, and they're really hard to come by. If the Osage Nation goes to the FAA and says, we want a BVLOS waiver, we've got a couple of things working for us and a lot of stuff working against us. Number one, they've never done a BVLOS waiver for the Osage Nation before. They don't know us. They're not acquainted with us. They're infinitely acquainted with people like OSU. They're very well acquainted with the Honeywell Corporation. They're very well acquainted with Tulsa University. As you can read, I included several emails in here from Honeywell, correspondence between myself and Mark Finney. And I think about six pages in, there's a lot of talk about almost every goal in this relationship has to do with BVLOS. If we go to the FAA hand in hand with Honeywell and TU, this is a cooperative effort between TU, Honeywell, of the Osage Nation, if we go hand in hand with them to the FAA, we gain instant credibility. We're with a legacy educational institution and a Fortune 50 company in the United States. And actually, they're worldwide, they're a global company. I think everybody knows this, 90%. Of all aircraft flying in the world today has Honeywell components, and they help us get to the moon, et cetera, et cetera. And they're huge. And a partnership like this is something that a lot of tribes kill for. Because these opportunities don't come very often. I'll reiterate on how this occurred, and then I'll go back to the BVLOS. We have maintained relationships in certain tech committees in the Tulsa area. And in those, we got acquainted with Dr. Jeremy Daly at TU. Dr. Jeremy Daly had a lot of conversations with Paul Petty and Mark Kirk about testing a completely different technology, heavy vehicle cybersecurity, which is a program that TU specializes in. And I had never met him, so I asked for a meeting to see him. As it turns out, Mr. Finney with Honeywell is a longtime friend of Dr. Daly and had been telling him about their plans to test drones and said that they really needed a place with utility lines, pipelines that was big, but they were having a little issue trying to find one. He said, you know what, I think I know exactly who you need to talk to. You need to talk to the Osage Nation. So he called Mark, said, can this guy come to our meeting? Sure. And within an hour, we had hammered out the possibilities. If we get into this agreement, if we successfully negotiate it, I cannot express to you so much how this is the handshake. This is the handshake that corporations have with each other every day. This is step one. There are no steps after this if this step doesn't happen. This is step one. We agree not to steal your technology. We agree not to steal your patents. We are going to be good. We're going to be good neighbors. We're going to be good partners. We're signing this to show that. Now let's talk about what we might do together. There's not even a negotiation without one of these at this level. So here's an opportunity for us to get a coveted BVLOS waiver, to work with a Fortune 50 company, to make money, to monetize our assets further than we already have at the ranch and at Skyway. This is about half at Skyway and about half at the ranch. It's both. And we expect them to pay for this service. I asked Mr. Finney straight to his face, what's this worth? Tens of thousands of dollars? I mean, to us. Okay, I can work with that. I asked Brian Meyer of X-Works, who has sold a company for millions of dollars and now has another company with 12 employees, what he would do. We were at a conference just a couple of weeks ago during session. And I said, you know, Brian, what would you do if you were in our shoes with Honeywell? He said, if I were you and I had this opportunity with Honeywell, I would make it so attractive to them that they could not turn it down. That's what I would do. I've dealt with some of these large corporations. That's what I would do. You want in the door. You want to be partnered with them first. You can make more money later, but this is step one right here. So my deceased wife had an uncle once whose company sold for $760 million about 5 years ago. And when I was much younger, I called him one time. We'd come into a little bit of money. And I called him and said, Uncle Bob, I said, what should we do with this money? You know, should we do the X with it? Should we do Y with it? He said, put it to work. He said, always put your assets to work for you. Always do not let assets lie still and fallow. Put them to work. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to put our assets to work. We're trying to maximize our income off of this. And I can tell you that this opportunity will make us money, and the opportunities that come after it, which are so important to this nation, the ones that come after it are the reason we need to do this one. Because it doesn't take too much thought to say, well, what happened with that deal with Honeywell? Oh, Congress turned it down. Really? What do you think? Do you think Dr. Daly from TU is going to bring anybody else to the table if that's what happens? I don't think they will. If that kind of word gets around, and when Chief Floyd or Chief Baker or Governor Anitubby hear about it, Honeywell's phone's going to ring. This is our opportunity. We are lucky to have it. I know there's some questions about the agreement itself. I wanted to tell you why it's important, why we're here, and why it should be passed. So with that, I'll field questions where Clint can.
Any questions from the committee? Congresswoman Stabler.
I think some of my questions have been asked as far as the Honeywell document is concerned. And I understand that Clint at the AG's office wrote this document?
Yes, I did.
The resolution? So in your review of all this, you find the same things? These are standard documents?
Yes, they are. They're standard to any business arrangement prior to entering in anything. It's, usually we see it as a confidentiality agreement. This is a proprietary information agreement. I think they just changed confidentiality to proprietary. It's a little stronger word to let you know that this is proprietary information to them, and they don't want you using it, sharing it, taking their information, altering it back, using it, and using that information against them, or that would harm their main, their business venture in any way. I will add, the terms have been negotiated. They sent over a much more stringent choice of law and jurisdiction clause. I came back with our standard language, choice of Osage Nation law and court system. They agreed to take out the choice of law and use any law, but they would not concede to not having a waiver. That's kind of backwards thinking, but they insisted on having a waiver. So it was negotiated. This is where we end up. They conceded a little. They are a bigger player, so we agreed to present the waiver to Congress for your guys' approval.
Additional comment.
Continue, please.
So last night I reviewed the lease we have on the ranch and went over these documents again, and at this point I'm comfortable with it. My experience has been mainly with BAAs, which are kind of along the same lines of confidentiality and stuff, so I have no problem with this.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for me, the term of the restriction is 10 years. What are the 10-year restrictions? What did the list of those, or elaborate on that for me?
The 10-year restriction, which section are you referring
to? I'm reading the Ron Barber.
You have a letter from him. I asked Ron to look at it last night. He did. He sent this.
This
came. He hasn't even seen it, so.
Okay, that's fine. Maybe you could
talk to me. Yeah, I'd be glad to feel that. Let's first talk about what we do for 10 years. If you were to ask me, we're not going to end up using this agreement in terms of using their technology. I don't even see that. This is something they require if they're going to work with us. I talked to Mark Finney this morning. I called him right before this meeting started. Mark Finney's my contact at Honeywell. He heads their whole drone department. He said, it's all about the patents. It's all about the literally billions of dollars they spend developing technology, patenting that technology, and making sure that that isn't used by somebody else. Now, this probably comes much more into play with Tulsa University. They've already done this. This probably comes into play much more with them because they're a research university and they're doing research. And some of these students at TU are going to be out there flying these drones. Our part is, I mean, they require this from everybody they're working with. But we aren't a tech company. So let's talk, when you say 10 years, for 10 years, we don't reveal anything about the patents or the technology that Honeywell has. In truth, we're probably never even going to see that technology unless something happens that I'm not foreseeing. This is a thing where we lease a right-of-way easement to Honeywell for a given period of time. The details of this are in here in a letter spelled out by Mr. Finney. If you look on the third page in your packets, number one on the list of 10 things to do, sign NDAs. That's just what Clint said. I don't know whether to tell this story or not, but I worked for a salesman one time, and he would sell a product to a consumer, and the consumer would say, what's all this fine print on the back? He'd say, that's the agreement. He goes, well, I need to have my lawyer look at this. And he would say, do you intend to make the payments? Well, yeah. If you make the payments, what happens on the back doesn't even matter. And that's kind of where we are. If we don't steal Honeywell's technology in this exercise, 10 years is, we're not going to remember this unless we get off into something even more deep with them. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It does. And another, is there, they give you a time frame?
They're honking. And also in this thing, I want to point it out and extend an invitation. There's an invitation here from a woman I've never met named Jill Brown. She's some higher up than Mark Finney. They're coming to Tulsa on the 8th, and they invited us to bring anybody we wanted to have dinner and talk to them and learn more about what they're doing. And I would extend that to any member of Congress.
And being just, amen.
They said we could pick a place. So.
The big attraction for them is what you mentioned, the pipeline and the space.
Contiguous property.
Right, and the ability to do the BVLOS. And the ranch board has discussed this. They're fine with this.
I have contacted them on everything. I think that there's some issues about who gets paid. You know what? I don't care who gets paid. I want to deal with Honeywell.
They wanted to know
who gets the money from Honeywell.
Okay. But in no way does this interfere with their operations and what they do out there. What happens when we're burning pastures?
What our lease requires is that they deal with us on a good faith effort on non-ranch public uses. And that's what this is. This is a non-ranch public use. So that's what our lease requires. You read this last night. So it's the opinion of the Attorney General's office that this money comes to the nation. You know what? That's about the last thing I want to argue about.
Right.
I want the relationship. I want the BVLOS. We can argue about money later.
Okay. And I appreciate the conversation. It's very interesting, intriguing to me. If the ranch was fully stocked, like they hope to do someday, within the next year, 2-3 years, does that come into play with this agreement and interfere with the ranch? Or
my impression that this agreement and the conversations I've had before is this activity will be measured in months, not years. This is, they, the information I provided you says X number of flights over Skyway, some BVLOS flights over that, and then five actual flights over the pipeline. It doesn't, I mean, they're testing the technology. When it's tested and they're happy with that it's reading and inspecting and doing what they said it would do, they're gonna pack up and go home. The only thing they've asked for that any sounds like extra, is there a building somewhere where we can store equipment while we're working there? And I asked Mr. Perrier, and he said, yes, there is a building. I have communicated at least three or four times in writing to the entire board via email upon every development that's happened here. And there's a reason for that. I mean, first, that's the right thing to do. Second, that's what the lease requires. The lease requires that they designate, the ranch board designates where these activities take place. And that's their decision. So it's a coordination thing. This is not a case of first impression. Brian Meyer, the guy I talked about that has the drone company that is on his second company, he went out there and tested technology. I've got pictures of it on a tank battery, and is doing business or has business pending with Scout, the oil company. I mean, we've already had drones flying out there. He went out there, he got with the ranch manager, he communicated with the board communicated, yes, that's fine. We gave him a heads up, nobody's out there doing anything the ranch doesn't know about. That's how it needs to stay.
I have a Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, that was my question. Where the ranch board stands on this. I mean, I hear you when you mentioned worker assets, and that ranch is an asset, and that there are 43,000 acres out there. There's enough land to do the cattle. There's enough land to do other projects. I see this as another project. What has the feedback been from the ranch board in the emails the communication that you've had with them? They're an advocate for this, impartial, what?
On this one, I have sent emails, and I received one email from one member saying this is a really great opportunity, and I had not received other feedback.
Okay.
Yesterday, Mr. Perrier said, we'd like to talk to you, and he didn't say what about. It might be this, it might be something else. We're having a meeting between me and two board members next Monday. I don't even know what the subject matter is.
Okay.
All right. So maybe that is, and maybe that isn't. I will tell you that Dr. Jamie Jacob, the guy who runs the drone program at OSU, came to a meeting of the ranch board, and I went to it, and it was over an hour, and they were talking about using drone technology to drive cattle. It's called precision forage management, and they actually have drones that fly over and say, here the grass is eaten down too far, here the grass is high, but the cattle aren't going over there. So the drones actually drive the cattle over to where the grass is. This is an emerging technology, and OSU is going to do all of that at Skyway. I'm sorry, the ranch. And the ranch is drafting a letter of interest to participate in that program with OSU. So they're not afraid of drones, I'll tell you that.
Congresswoman Stokely.
Taking me back to the day when I was selling Texas Instrument calculators to ranchers and showing how to keep data on their cows. And so yeah, I really like technology. I just wanted to point out that this 10 years on this is about being held to non-disclosure of the information. The actual agreement, I think, is a two-year agreement. I was trying to find that again. Somewhere I saw, I think this was had a two-year life on it. But anyway, it's not about that 10 years. Is just about the information being held to that piece of it. Also, I meant to bring up earlier, too, is page 5 is not here. I don't know if that was the signature page or something, but I just got page 4. So it ends with?
There's page five.
Okay. Is it just basically a signature?
It's the waiver and counterpart setting.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that what that was about.
It wasn't a tricky page.
It wasn't a tricky page.
The mysterious missing page.
So I think that that was, the ranch, according to the lease, the nation does have the right and the ranch to make leases, and the ranch has the right to discuss with them the areas, just like Assistant Chief said. We do have a realty department that will manage the lease, or this is a contract, so that'll be a procurement
It's a right-of-way easement agreement, am I right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, temporary.
Okay, so that'll be realty.
It's a thank you. It's a temporary right-of-way easement agreement.
Okay, and so that'll be handled through realty as far as records and processes and stuff, so.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Okay, so I visited with some ranch board members yesterday, and I visited with Chief last night, and just for me, the impression that I received was that they wanted to discuss more, and then we came back in here, us, and we were here till like almost 8 o'clock last night visiting, not just about this, but other things. And so what I found interesting is that the lease agreement, which we studied, of course you do have the right to do this. And so I guess my thing is that I really want the ranch board to absolutely be 100% behind this. And the reason I understand that they have an agreement for what their agreement is for the lease with the nation. And I understand that the nation can come in and do these types of projects. But there's no but. I really would like for that 100% a document that says we are behind it. And so my question is that if we pass this out, can you guys go along without the ranch and just say we're doing it no matter what? And I am not saying that's what you're going to do, but is that an option that you have?
Legally?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Honestly don't know. Because what it says is, it says approval of the areas, final approval of the designated areas is the purview of the ranch board.
Well, so, I'm going to comment about that one area right quick. That is for a public, Osage Nation public, set aside for our people to be able to go out and have a place to go. And the ranch is required to designate that area. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify that.
So if they don't agree on the area, where are you? If we pass this out and approve it.
If you're asking me to guess what a board's going to do,
hypothetically.
I don't think it's good to go there. I mean, so let's look at this another way. If you don't do this, it doesn't matter. So if you want the opportunity to do it, we have to pass this out or there's nothing is going to happen.
I do understand that.
So if Congress wants to help executive do their job, okay. I mean, that's how much this means to me, and you know how I am about separation of powers. Mm-hmm. But that, if you guys want to help with the ranch board and help negotiate or be a third party or something like that, I mean,
I don't really. Assistant Chief, I don't believe anybody here at the table wants to do negotiations. What we do want to know, we want to have a clear direction on how this affects our government, how it affects our ranch, how it affects the board, and we don't have that right now. We're saying sign it and we'll find out. And right now, all we have is this waiver on the table. And once it's executed, I believe, Congresswoman Lemon, once it's executed, I don't know, nor do you know, and I think that we just heard the Assistant Chief knows what's going to happen next. Now, my question is, once we would execute this agreement or pass this waiver of sovereign immunity to allow you to execute this agreement, who is it binding upon? I want to know the parties that, if you enter into this agreement, you sign this page five, who is this binding upon, Mr. Patterson?
The agreement is with the Osage Nation, so it is binding on the Osage Nation and every branch of the Osage Nation and every board of the Osage Nation and anybody, any government entity of the Osage Nation, any employee of the Osage Nation.
That's exactly how I read this document. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. So if we execute this, I'll get you next, Mr. Congressman Tillman. If we execute this, if we pass this out, we have, by our action, which is our duty to legislate, it's our duty to issue limited waivers of sovereign immunity. We have lodged this agreement upon the entire Osage Nation, including the board. Now, that's the decision I'm looking at, because the people own the land. I want opportunity for the people. I think good deals are good deals, and we should look at them, but I don't believe that I should execute anything until I know the specifics that go along with it. That's just my opinion right now. Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I talked about yesterday, you know, we have to make choices. My choice was to support the Blue Stem Ranch. And we know the board makes the decisions out there. And I talked to the president of the board, Jim Perrier, and he's not really clear what's going on with Honeywell. Not clear at all, quote unquote. He is, however, willing to sit down and listen to find out what this is. But right now, he doesn't really know.
Well, it's a shame I wasn't invited to that meeting.
There was some meeting you were in with him and the folks from Honeywell. Apparently you left, or something of that nature. But it was just a conversation.
They haven't been in.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Well, I guess I should have brought all the emails I sent them and invite them to ask questions.
They're willing to sit down and visit with you.
I suspect they are.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say something I've already said five times. If we don't sign this, there's nothing to talk about. So I can't, please don't ask me to look into the future and tell you how negotiations are going to go with Honeywell, how negotiations are going to go with the ranch, I can give you hypotheticals from over here all the way over here. And at some point, trust, which is in short supply here sometimes, we work for the nation too. We have, the ranch board is, we're not at war with the ranch board. I have an excellent relationship with Mr. Perrier. He calls me sometimes, we talk. I call him sometimes, we talk when we need to. So when you tell me that Mr. Perrier doesn't know, he's been apprised of everything we've done in writing, and the whole board has.
I have Congressman Tillman.
Just quoted to me, he does not know what's going on.
I can't get on this
until they are fully on board and agree. And Honeywell, $1 billion company, these Harvard type, Yale type, Ivy League type guys come in here and do these kinds of things every day. And it's attractive. They're good at what they do.
Congressman Goodfox.
Well, I can see where one side, you're saying I've communicated via email, and I can see, I can't call him Mr. Perrier, my uncle, because he's my uncle Jim. I feel like something like this, that should be a sit-down meeting with the entire board between the AG's office, executive, and the board. That something like this has to be a sit down meeting where, and not just emails. We get emails all the time sometimes, and we read them, of course, but sometimes it's nonverbal communication, and you know, you can read through something and be like, what, you know, and then you move on to the next fire that you're putting out. And I do have a question. What is the time frame that we're looking at? Can we, I mean, we could be in session, we can extend this session. And I know people are, we've kind of talked, well, we might end on Friday. We're supposed to go till Monday, but we can extend this session. And I've always been a big advocate that this is our opportunity to work. And we can work on Saturdays and we can work until 10 o'clock at night. So to me, I'm like, let's have another meeting and get that ranch board here and discuss and get it ironed out so that we can get this out the door.
I have Assistant Attorney General Clint Patterson next, and then I have Congresswoman Pratt, and then I have Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's been talk about this, and people have mentioned, Assistant Chiefs mentioned it, but this agreement, right now we're a closed door. We cannot have the conversations that we need to have with the ranch board, with what's the agreement going to look like, anything like that, until we open this door. And in past practice, and I can't guarantee, and I can't speak for Honeywell on this, but any agreement, being since they insisted on a waiver just in the proprietary agreement, they are more than likely going to have a waiver in any type of agreement, business agreement that we have, that will need to come back in front of more than likely this committee, this Congress, for approval. And at that point, we can have committee meetings, branch meetings, and any disagreements or concerns can be ironed out at that point. But without this, we can't even get into negotiations. And if those negotiations, if this fails, then there's no reason to even have that type of negotiation with the ranch board or this committee or whoever.
Can I elaborate on that?
Well, I have Congresswoman Pratt. I
defer to him. And then
yes, Assistant Chief.
If you're right, I mean, we're going to be, whatever we do is going to have another waiver in it. Congress has to do that. Anybody here that thinks that I'm not going to meet and talk with the ranch board about this, but to hang this up and leave the door closed until everybody knows everything. But here's what you're asking me to do. You're asking me to go in front of the ranch board and answer a whole lot of questions that I don't even know the answer to, because we haven't done step one. That's step two.
Okay. So does the ranch board know even as much as we learned in the last 20 minutes that we've been talking about this? That's kind of what I, because a lot of things that Congresswoman Goodfox stated is exactly what I was going to say. I wrote down public use lands because there was the discussion of that. Because I would say in their mind, in the talks that took place back when we did the lease, and maybe even in the language, it was public use lands because at the time, Chief wanted, I want the bison preserve. I want lands to be set aside, because if it was at that time, if it was up to the ranch, they would just fill the entire ranch with our assets. So, but there was in that agreement wanted to be use set aside, like to have the cultural encampment and things like that. So that's, I thought in their minds, was the public use lands. But you're stating the public use lands is what you would utilize for an opportunity like this. And I agree, it's an opportunity. I think that they probably will, but I don't know much about this either, and maybe many others, but you have educated us to some extent. And so I agree, I wrote down public use lands, emails, because I feel the same way. We get so many emails, even especially as speaker, you get CC'd on everything, and I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't even think this pertains to me, but they want to CC me on it. So I agree that that's not real thorough, proper communication to just be like, all this going on, and then just kind of CCing them. And so I think the time
should have... No, it was to them.
Okay. Well, but even if you just put my name on it, and I have no idea what you're talking about, then that just doesn't clear things up. So I think that... It would have been nice to have had some communication with them, even the discussion that you've had with us in open session right now, to say, here's as much as I can tell you, and educate them to the extent that even we've been educated in moving forward to do this. And you have dinner on October 8th. So I, too, want to...
We haven't responded. We're not
having
dinner.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
So it's a proposal, and you already invited us, so maybe the date is confirmed. But I'm saying I agreed. That was my other question, was I wrote down October 8th because I, too, want to know the time frame. Yes, we can extend a session, or we can call a special session immediately. We've done that. We called a special session the day we ended session. So I want to know, too, is there a somewhat of a time frame so that you could at least, to the extent that we've been educated, speak with the board? And they may think it's just a grand idea and opportunity as well, but the discussion to be had about areas or the public use lands.
Congresswoman, stay here.
Okay, I think getting beyond the ranch board is going to be easy enough. That's going to be a meeting to get everybody calmed down. But I think that we can't even go to that dinner without this.
That was my point, is okay. That that's not until then, so they can have a sit down with the board.
Sure.
Between now and then.
Okay. But like I said, we do BAAs with the clinic because we're telling other people, you can't disclose information we have. You're going to be seeing proprietary information, and we hold them to that. At the same time, we have had companies come in to bring their technology to us, but we signed NDAs. This is a different form of an NDA in that, and so it's an introduction piece. And in that case, those cases, we did have to sign those before they were willing to discuss. So if that's holding up the discussion, I still say this is a preliminary piece. And then we go through the rest of the paces.
How about I do this? If you believe me and trust me, I'll meet with the ranch board as soon as, before I ever meet with them, or we can all sit down together with Mark Finney and them when he's here. I've already told, one of the very first things I did in writing, I'm sorry, I think writing is a good way to communicate.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Okay, well, the inadequacies of email have been discussed here today. So, but let me say this. I've already told the ranch board, as soon as I got the invitation, that they were going to be here, that Mark Finney was going to be here the evening of Tuesday the 8th and all day the 9th. Can you meet with him? You know, do you want to meet with the guy? And no response. So I don't know what else I'm supposed to do in trying to get the ranch board to communicate on these issues. I mean, I please don't hold me responsible because they don't respond to emails. That feels kind of how it is here. And that's not the way it is. I mean, I'm busted at trying to communicate with them.
I just had a meeting the other day. Congresswoman Woman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Assistant Chief, I agree this is an opportunity, and I want to get behind it 100%, and I'm not against it. And you just offered a solution to make all of us, in my opinion, feel like we could come to and work together, which I feel like in this session there's been a lot of that, and I think that we should, you know, continue down that road. Therefore, you offered to have a meeting with the ranch board and some of us, and before that time, and Congresswoman Goodfox and Pratt talked about, you know, the sky's not going to fall today if we don't sign this. I know it's not. And so if we could get together and get all of our heads, you know, together and put all of our eggs in the same basket and agree on it, and I think that we can. I agree with Congresswoman Saber that we can. I think that the ranch board will get behind this. If they too feel like they have been, and I believe that you have emailed them, sir. I do not believe that you're fibbing in any way. I'm just saying, we were elected to do this and, you know, take care of our people and our largest asset, and I would like for them to be 100% on board also. That's where I'm at.
Well, let me go down that road for just a second. If one member opposes it and the other four are for it, what do we do?
that's a majority. Four is a majority, no?
I'm just going on what you said a while ago about, I want them all to...
Oh, apologize. A majority,
I've tried to communicate with them, and I think it...
Why don't we have another commerce meeting and ask the board to be here and put this back on the agenda?
I'll look on the schedule and do so, and do that, and I would be more comfortable before executing...
I just hope I can help them answer the questions that they have, because I know what I've communicated with them, and as Clint has said, I don't know how much more Honeywell is going to share with me without the agreement, so we're to the chicken and egg.
Well, with this agreement, it's between two parties, and we both have something here that each other wants. We want their dollars, they want to use our land. And so to me, we can figure out in the front end how this agreement...
So you do want to negotiate?
No, I don't want to negotiate.
That's what it sounded like.
No, I'm just saying, you're telling me that we can't, that the executive can't formulate any ideas of how this is going to work until this agreement is signed. And I disagree. I think that we need that you have that ability to bring an idea of, you have a rudimentary outline here that you presented to us of how they want to utilize our land. We need to know how you're going to execute this on behalf of the nation. And so...
And you want me to guess?
No, but I think that you should have some ideas about it. I think you should have...
Having never done it before and having...
That's the scary part. You should at least formulate some ideas of how it should work for the nation. And I think that those ideas should be presented to the ranch board, too. It's our land. It's our property. And I like what's going on here. I think that the ranch board should know that they're going to be covered under this proprietary information agreement.
I'll tell the committee right now, I'm not going to make stuff up.
I'm not asking you to make stuff up.
I'm just going to be a whole lot of I don't know yet, because we haven't done this. So that's where we are, and that's what the committee
wants to
do.
Well, there's a document that outlines some stuff. Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, one thing, I'm not even sitting here saying that I know they're kind of worded like the board has to be on 100% and things like that. I just would rather, and I get that too, but that's not even necessarily what I'm saying. I'm saying I would feel more comfortable if the board wasn't like, I really have no idea what's going on. I mean, if it could be a little more than that.
That's where I'm at.
They could sit here and be as educated, even have this opportunity right here, that we've gotten to ask questions, to be educated as much as you can without breaking any kind of confidentiality, and then give them the opportunity to kind of weigh in, because at that point they could completely disagree and this Congress can still think it's a good idea and do it anyway, because we do it with the Attorney General's office and they say, don't waive your sovereignty, because we have an Attorney General that's like, I don't want to waive our sovereignty, and we do it anyways. So we have that ability. I just would like to hear them be able to say something other than, I don't know what's going on.
Can you get him in here in this session?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll advocate for that. Mm-hmm. I'll advocate for that.
Too.
And
they're hanging out.
I get the Attorney General's office saying this has to be done.
We could probably go outside and find them right now.
We can move to the next step.
I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon made the motion. Okay.